Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they're going to be satisfied." Isaiah 40, "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Psalm 145:19, "He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them." Can you guess the theme of our show today? That's right, it's desire. You know, we have so many desires that we want fulfilled. And I'm not just talking sexual, but desires for health and happiness, career and money, and the list goes on and on and on, doesn't it? But did you know what the Lord Himself desires? In Hosea 6:6, He says this. He says, "I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." So this means that God doesn't need you to prove yourself. You don't need to prove your love through empty religion, but rather embracing Him in this relationship. And yes, part of this relationship is with your sexuality. Today, we continue our conversation with Dr. Julie Slattery. She's been my guest this week, and we're discussing her new workbook, and it's for single women. It's called Sex and the Single Girl. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, there seems to be a lie in the church that when you save yourself for marriage, rock star sex is guaranteed. We're going to talk about that. Number two, why we don't hear or celebrate this idea of saving ourselves for marriage. Why doesn't the church talk about that? Why do we not hear about it? We'll chat about that as well. And number three, we'll ask the question, is saving myself for marriage worth it? Today's show is titled, "The Reality of the Honeymoon Night." I think that the church has done a huge disservice to single people because somehow we have given this picture or this illusion that, okay, if two people do save themselves for marriage and they're both virgins, Julie, and on the wedding night, that everything is supposed to be great and wonderful and fireworks go off and it's rock star sex. And the reality is it's not like that. There's a difference between fulfilling God's design in that and the expectations that come to it on the wedding night. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. And I hear that story over and over again. And I think we in some ways have set people up for that with telling them that, hey, if you save yourself for marriage, you know, what you have in store is going to be so amazing. And, you know, I'd say to that, can you really promise that? You know, I've met so many young women who save themselves for marriage, and either God hasn't brought a spouse, or if He did, they encountered some real difficulties related to sexuality, particularly early in marriage. And, you know, here's what I want to say to that is that even in our relationship with God, we grow in our expression of love towards Him. When you first become a Christian, you first have a relationship with God, there might be, you know, this overwhelming joy of what He saved you from, maybe hunger to go to church and to read His word, but you're very immature in your relationship with Him. And it takes time and discipleship and dedication to learn what it really is to know God's presence, to serve Him, to love Him. And the same is true in a marriage relationship, including in sexuality. The honeymoon is just the beginning. And there can be some real excitement on the honeymoon. There can be some fireworks for some couples. But by and large, it's just the beginning of a very long journey of what it looks like to love each other sexually. And most couples will talk about the different barriers they had to overcome over the years. But as they have learned to love each other sexually, things just keep getting better and better. And, you know, again, I think we have to paint that broader picture that actually, if the best sex of your marriage was on your honeymoon, that would actually be a pretty discouraging prospect. Absolutely. I'm glad that, you know, the goal is that you get to pursue this over time.
Mm-hmm. And it grows, and it grows. And it's the way that God has shown me in my marriage to Amy is the older that we get, the more I fall in love with her. And it really has very less to do with the way that she looks. She's a beautiful woman, but it's about friendship, and that word intimacy comes into play, that no matter what happens, that we're there for one another. And mm-hmm. It's just such a beautiful picture as two people grow old to experience that. I think you bring up another point, Julie, that I want to touch on, and that is there's a lot more people saving themselves for marriage than we hear about. Yeah. We don't hear about that because it's, you know, the culture makes people like that look stupid. And I just want to encourage the women that are listening, the men that are listening, that there are a lot of people saving themselves for marriage. And I want to encourage you to keep doing that. Do you have any thoughts on that yourself?
Yeah. The latest study that I read, and I don't know how up to date it is, was that 5% of Americans save themselves for marriage. I'm not sure if that number has gone down. It wouldn't surprise me if it's gone down a little bit. But still, even if it's 1% or 2% of Americans, that's a lot of people. Particularly if you're talking about within the faith context, and the research would show that people that do have a strong faith in God are more likely to have that stand to save themselves. So absolutely, you know, I think that kind of the way people think of it is that nobody does. And
right.
And that's just not the case.
No, it's not.
I particularly work with women. And so I meet an awful lot of women who are faithfully walking that road. And praying that God would bring a man into their life who also has that commitment.
So what if you, like me, unfortunately and shamefully, did not save yourself for marriage? What if you're a single person who has sexually sinned in the past, or maybe you're just sexing it up right now with your boyfriend or with your girlfriend or both? Well, our God is a God of 1,000 do-overs, my friend. He is. See, he knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows how weak and fragile we are. He knows that we are but made of dust. See, the great thing about God's forgiveness is that it's based on his faithfulness to you. It's not based on our faithlessness to him. Yes, indeed. Jesus has his arms wide open, waiting for you to come join him. He loves you so much, though, that he's never going to force you to do anything. It's your choice to come to him in humility with repentance. Look, friend, you don't have to keep doing what you're doing. You don't have to keep doing what you've always done. See, that's what freedom is. That's gospel-centered freedom. It's the ability to say no. On Monday, we continue our conversation with the struggle of sexual temptation with Dr. Julie Slattery and her brand new book. It's called Sex and the Single Girl, and we'll be discussing the four stages of temptation. Well, my friend, this is the last show of the year, so I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you if you have given me that Christmas present of rating the show. I want to thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it. And of course, I want to thank you to all of you who are Purity Partners, who have given to the the ministry and supported the ministry to keep us on the air. I look forward to what God is going to do in 2018. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook, and you can email me your questions at dustindaniels.org. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they're going to see God." And that is going to be a glorious day when we get to see our Savior face to face. But until then, my friend, I want you to walk worthy. I want you to cling to Him, cling to your church, cling to your family, cling to your friends, cling to those around you. And if you are isolated, if you are alone right now, I pray that you would make the effort to engage in godly community. I love you, and I look forward to our time again on Monday, which is next year. God bless you.